Her long and colorful career in Oregon politics is detailed in a new book called The Only Woman in the Room, The Norma Paulus Story. Writing credit goes to Norma Paulus herself with two co-authors. Norma Paulus is in delicate health these days, but we get a chance to visit with her son about his mom's many accomplishments in Oregon, and that is William Fritz Paulus, a lawyer in the Portland area. Fritz, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeffrey. But glad to be here.
So let's start with law school. What made your mom decide to attend, and how unusual was that for the time?
Well, it was very unusual. You know, mom, one of her great claims to fame was that she graduated from law school without attending college first. And she grew up in Depression-era poverty, didn't have the means to go to college. She was very bright. You know, she grew up in Eastern Oregon. And as a senior in high school, she got a job as a legal secretary for the district attorney in Harney County. And so she learned the law through being a legal secretary. And she, several years later, she got a job as the secretary for the Supreme Court of Oregon, and Judge Latterette was her judge, and she worked for Judge Latterette, and Judge Latterette saw her as a promising law student because mom was very good at the law, and he gave her a personal recommendation to Willamette Law School, and mom passed some tests to get accepted, and she went part-time for a while she was still working full-time as a legal secretary.
Wow. She was busy, and obviously people saw her talent along the way. I mean, tell us a bit about the kind of drive she possessed and who helped that develop as she was growing up in Burns.
You know, my mom was, you know, is amazing, and I had a chance when she campaigned for governor. I had a chance to be one of her drivers and advance people, and I would just, I was 22 years old at the time, 23, you know, fit. And my mom was so amazing. We're just getting up at, you know, 6 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning every day, and going through this grueling schedule, talking to, you know, press boards, editorial boards, and, you know, newspapers or radio stations, Qantas clubs. And she just loved what she did. She always had just an amazing determination. You know, I think part of it was just growing up in the Depression and being not of means, and she knew she could do things. And she overcame polio when she was 19. I don't know if that's in the book, too.
It is, and that was not something I had known about her.
Yeah, she had polio, and, you know, mom just had a certain, and there was a polio epidemic back then, just, you know, nationally, but in Harney County, it was particularly severe, and she went to a doctor in Portland, and, you know, the doctor told her, Norma Jean, that's her middle name, Norma Jean, or Miss Peterson, because that was her maiden name, Miss Peterson, I believe this is going to be a light case of polio.
Uh-huh.
And so mom just put it in her mind, whether that was true or not, mom just put it in her mind that it was going to be a light case, and it was just mind over matter for her. So I think that's just that's an example of her drive and her determination.
So, as I look at the year that Norma Peterson, later Paulus, was born, it was the same year as my mother, who was married with a kid 2 years after high school. I mean, was there ever a chance that was the track that Norma Peterson would have ended up on?
Just marrying somebody and being a mother? You know, maybe, but, you know, it's interesting, since my mom was born on the other side of the tracks in Burns and literally grew up in a shack out in the desert at this failed oil well, and then they moved into town. She really loved this guy named Corky, and his parents were, like, very well-to-do in Burns, and they owned the pharmacy, but she was from the other side of the tracks, so they didn't want her son marrying her.
Huh.
And maybe if she got married to Corky, she would have been a housewife. But she didn't, and then my grandfather died at 55 years old or so, and so my mom needed to help support her family as a, you know, young woman. You know, my aunt, you know, my grandmother, and my mom helped, and my uncle. Mom came from a big family, so she was took on the role of helping support the family with her job as a legal secretary. So I think it was just destiny that she was going to be where she went, and get into law and become a legal secretary, and eventually, you know, you meet my dad, and you know, and I wouldn't be here but for that.
Right. We're talking about Norma Paulus here, who was Oregon's first woman Secretary of State. She was Superintendent of Public Instruction later, and in between ran for Governor of Oregon, missing by not very much in 1986 against Neil Goldschmidt. She was the subject of a new book called The Norma Paulus Story, co-written by Norma Paulus, Gail Wells, and Pat McCord Amashare. Her son, William Fritz Paulus, is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. I wonder, Fritz, if people underestimated Norma a bit, because not just because she was a woman, but because she came from Burns, out there in the other Oregon.
I think Mom always carried herself so well, and I think it was not more from Burns, because eventually she moved to Salem and she was a legal secretary there, but I think being a woman back then, it was tough, Mom was just on the forefront, one, not going to college, and then going to law school. She, you know, had hurdles there. The dean of the law school kind of was suspect of her and didn't want her to be admitted originally. And I think, you know, Mom was in her day was an attractive woman, and people probably underestimated her, seeing her as maybe a dumb blonde. But she's very bright and articulate. And so she had to overcome those hurdles all, and in the part, that's where the title of the book came from, The Only Woman in the Room, is it kind of captures Mom's story, because she was just on the forefront of being a woman in a man's world.
Yeah, there's a great picture on the cover of her in what appears to be the well of the Oregon House, where she's up there by the speaker's desk, and there's just this sea of white men in glasses around her.
Exactly. There's a few women in the background, but it's like the people around her are men, and this photo captures, you know, her a moment in history where she's filing for the House of Representatives in 1970, and you know, it is just telling where there's just all these men with white guys with glasses and suits around her. And we found more photos like that just in our archives, and that's how we came up with the title of the book.
Now, speaking of photos, there's this picture from the Capital Journal that makes you want to smack your head today, and the headline reads, Housewife Nears Law Goal.
Oh,
and Norma's holding a law book in one hand and a cookbook open in the other.
Isn't that amazing? I wanted that, you know, my sister and my wife and I really helped get a lot of the photos in for the book. And this one, Mom had a lot of great scrapbooks that are Willamette now, and this one just stands out. I mean, would this happen today? No. Housewife nears law goal, and it shows her with the cookbook, as you said, and a law book. And it says, you know, counselor also cooks. I think later on in this article, it asks if she's really going to go on and be a lawyer.
As opposed to getting a law degree and staying home and making Salisbury steaks with that knowledge?
Yeah, and here she's graduated honors. She won the moot court competition. So she's a celebrated law student, and they're mentioning that she's, you know, cooks, which is kind of ironic because my mom really wasn't that good of a cook, good cook anyway. So we joke about that in the family.
All right, there's a better picture not long after that, and it's you, both parents, and your sister during the 1970 campaign for the House. What made Norma decide to run for that seat?
Well, you know, Mom, it was kind of, you know, I think she felt like she could do a good job. She got interested in, you know, working on Wallace Wally Carson's campaign that's in the book. Wally later, you know, he was state representative, became state senator, and then he later became Supreme Court Justice for Oregon. And Wally and Mom were good friends, and she was, you know, campaigning for Wally. And Wally and Bob Packwood were part of these younger progressive, you know, moderate Republicans in the legislature. And so she, these were the people she was hanging out with, and she said, you know, I can do this. I'm good at this. I'm going to run.
Now, Wally didn't think she could win, though, did he?
No, he mentioned that. He said, I was looking at this last night, and he said, Norma, a woman can't get elected in Marion County. I mean, that's why this book is interesting to people who, you know, we've come so far and so in women's rights, but it is pretty shocking to see some of these things that people would say. Like, for example, in the book, Mom mentions that the mayor of Silverton wouldn't escort her down the street as a candidate during her first campaign in Marion County because he liked Mom. He thought she agreed with her issues, but he didn't think it was right that a woman should be running for office.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to William Fritz Paulus. He's the son of Norma Paulus, Oregon's former Secretary of State and Superintendent of Public Instruction. She was also state legislator and a candidate for governor in 1986. So this is an interesting time in Oregon history, though, because your mom got elected in 1970, and this is like the beginning of this gigantic wave of the beach bill, the bottle bill, the bicycle bill, land use planning, all happened within, I guess, the 6 years that she was in the legislature.
Exactly. It was just a golden time for you know, a lot of landmark legislation for Oregon, like the, you know, as you recounted, and you know, Mom was a part of that. She maybe wasn't the leader on everything there, but she was definitely with some of the things she was, and she had her hand in many of those issues. You know, and conservation and environmental issues were really big for her. And surprisingly, you know, as a Republican, she had 100% voting record for environmental issues when she was in the legislature.
I noticed that the Oregon Environmental Council gave her a perfect score. And I also didn't realize that the bottle bill passed while the legislature was in Republican hands.
Yeah, it's and that's why this book's another piece of interest of, I think, all citizens of Oregon, because, you know, it talks of another time when, you know, Republicans have changed course nationally and statewide. And here, you know, the Republican governor, Tom McCall, is the leader of this environmental movement, very charismatic, that people like my mom were drawn into politics as well. And so it's strange to have the Republicans being on the forefront of these environmental issues.
Truly. And where did she stand on land use planning, what became Senate Bill 100 and created the Land Conservation and Development Commission?
She was one of the big supporters of that, and she helped carry the bill. It was a Senate bill, Senate Bill 100, but she helped carry the bill for the House, on the House side, in 1973. She was appointed by Tom McCall in 1969 to serve on this Marion Polk County Boundary Commission. Well, and there were a number of these around the state, and they were precursors to our current urban growth boundaries. So Mom had been involved in land use for, you know, some time. And so, you know, farm and forest land protection was very important to her, especially coming from, you know, growing up in Eastern Oregon and having you know, growing up in a timber community, she wanted to make certain that this livability of Oregon from farm and forest would be preserved.
So I want to get a personal aside from you here, Fritz, because you're about 10 years old, right in the middle of your mom, Norma Paulus's time in the legislature. I mean, how much did you see of her? I mean, granted, you lived in the Salem area, so she was able to get home every night.
Yeah, you know what? We knew that Mom was different than other moms, but Mom and Dad you know, did a very good job at keeping my sister Liz and I to have a normal life. And, you know, Mom would come home and, you know, cook dinner for us. It might be hamburger helper or casserole, but she would come home and cook dinner. And I don't know how they did it. It was amazing. And after a while, when she became Secretary of State, you know, Greg McMurdo, who was her deputy, I mean, Greg was like almost a member of the family because he would just be over at dinner all the time chatting with Norma, because that's where she, you know, she'd have to come home, and she had her family, and my dad and my sister and I were there, and my dad was a busy attorney, so they're all very busy, but she would kind of conduct business with Greg while we were just doing family stuff.
So I didn't realize that Norma Paulus was a big supporter of the Equal Rights Amendment.
Yeah.
And I certainly see some echoes of current efforts for rights in that battle, because it always seems to come back to toilets for some people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know. I was looking at this last night, and they were talking about toilet. Mom mentions the toilets back in 1973, and so there are a lot of similar. There's still some similarities between today and back then. It is pretty amazing that we haven't, you know, that this still is an issue. Oregon passed the Equal Rights Amendment twice, I think three times now. Didn't pass nationally, but it was definitely something very important to Mom, and she gave, you know, one of her most stirring speeches, apparently, about the issue on the House floor. And, you know, some people commented that it was possibly the best speech ever given in that chamber.
Wow. So I wonder aloud, if you would, for me, Fritz. I mean, if your mom, Norma Paulus, were a political figure today, do you think she would be a Republican based on her views on the issues?
Oh, good question.
Yeah. And this is something she mentioned in recent years.
Yeah, I really don't think so, in where the current party is right now. And just, you know, that's another interesting tale. The party just kind of moved away from this kind of Oregon brand of Republicanism.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind our listeners, we're talking to William Fritz Paulus, the son of Norma Paulus. Her book is The Norma Paulus Story, The Only Woman in the Room, written with Gail Wells and Pat McCord Amashare. Your mom picked some notable fights. Well, I didn't realize she went up against Glenn Jackson from Southern Oregon, the iron-fisted chair of the Highway Commission.
Yeah, Mom, you know, Mom would take on anybody. And I've forgotten the facts about the Glenn Jackson, but I remember Mom talking about, you know, taking on Glenn Jackson. And I think some of these times when she'd pick her fights, sometimes it would be great and sometimes it would be detrimental to her and down the line, because she maybe would lose support. But people really love Mom for her stalwartness. But example in the book that you know, she took on the bottle industry with the bottling industry when the bottle bill was being passed, and she was talking about Stop Oregon Litter and Vandalism as it was created by the bottling industry at the time, and she was, you know, challenging the purpose of that. And, you know, the governor got mad at her, Governor McCall, for doing that. And you know, here's this freshman legislator, there's a woman, just kind of, you know, pounding the table like, this is wrong. And she was right, but she was, you know, she got the governor pissed at her. So she took on Glenn Jackson about a number of things. So it was Mom's strength and also maybe her failing in a way, because she could rattle cages.
So did she have any misgivings then about running for the Secretary of State in 1976? I mean, this is a job that had never been held by a woman and is generally regarded as a step on the way to the governor's office.
No, I think Mom wanted to be the governor, I think. Ever since she graduated from law school and she was like this shining star woman attorney, you know, she was just in the spotlight, and I think she was just being groomed for higher things. And, you know, so the Secretary of State was a logical stepping stone to do that, and that's where, you know, McCall had been Secretary of State, Senator Hatfield, and previously the governor had been Secretary of State, and they were Republicans too. So this was the path to get there, and that's where I think Mom wanted to go.
And she did indeed run for governor against Neil Goldschmidt, as we mentioned, in 1986. I remember that race well. It was my first governor's race in Oregon.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, she certainly stood a good chance. Neil Goldschmidt made some notable gaffes, like referring to not wanting to debate in Bend as the middle of nowhere, which certainly played to Norma's strengths east of the mountains. What were her thoughts? I mean, what did she think had been the difference in winning and losing there?
I think that, you know, when I've talked, since I worked on the campaign and I was involved in this, I think, you know, from my mom's perspective, it came down to that the economy was the main issue at that time.
And Oregon was just emerging from recession, a very deep recession.
Yeah, we were emerging from this really bad recession and akin to what we just got out of, maybe even worse. And, Neil was this man who had been, a businessman with Nike. He was charismatic, and he was talking about the Oregon comeback. And it was hard for Mom. Mom's strength was, here's a leader, her tagline was, a leader you know and you can trust. And she can do, she's smart, she's going to do a great job, she's very charismatic. But I think people gravitated towards Neil a little bit more because he was going to, people thought he was going to get us out of this economic mess. Not dissimilar to this Hillary Clinton-Trump election where, Hillary was with the incumbent party.
Right.
And, Trump was then saying, I'm going to make America great. And, it was hard to kind of refute that.